Good morning. It's really good to see everyone this morning. We have a good crowd, as has already been said. I appreciate being able to be here with you today and to be able to talk to you about some things that I've been kind of thinking about. And I want to express my appreciation for that. If you've got your Bibles with you, turn to 1 Chronicles and turn to chapter 1, 1 Chronicles chapter 1. That's how you know it's going to be an exciting lesson if we're starting in 1 Chronicles chapter 1. And let's read together starting in verse 1. Adam, Seth, Enosh, Canaan, Mahalalel, Jared, Enoch, Methuselah, Lamech, Noah, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. The sons of Japheth were Gomer, Magog, Madai, Javan, Tubal, Meshach, and Tiras. The sons of Gomer were Ashkenaz, Diphthah, Togarmah. The sons of Jabin were Elisha, Tarshishish, Kittim, and Rodanim. Let's stop there for a second. Look down through the rest of chapter 1. Just glance in your Bibles. I hope you have your Bibles open. We're going to be using those today. Glance down through the rest of the chapter. What do you see? Names. More and more and more names. Do you want me to keep reading? We can go all the way through till we get to the scripture I'm going to actually use, but I think most of you would say, no, this is a tough part of scripture to read. And that's just the truth of the matter. It's a hard part of scripture to get through. I know a lot of Christians have taken on the challenge of reading through the entire Bible, like do it in a year or something like that. And I know some of you have done that. I'm aware of that. And I have to ask, like, be honest, did you get to this part and maybe skip a bit? Just a little bit? Or maybe you didn't skip, but maybe you kind of zoned out for a little bit when you got to Tarshishish, Kittim, and Rodanim, and the sons of... And you're like, okay, I'm getting through this. I'm moving through it. And it would be reasonable, right? Because, you know, the truth is, you get to chapter 1, and you get to the end of that, and you think, that's a lot of names. And you get to chapter 2, and you're like, oh, okay, we got more names. And chapter 3, and you're like, well, maybe... No, more names. 4, 5, 6, 7, 8... 9. At chapter 9, you go, okay, we're out of the names. In the first three verses, he talks about something, and he goes, oh, no, more names. Back to verse 4, we're going to more names. And finally, he gets to chapter 10, and he starts talking about more narrative and history and such. And these are hard chapters. They're hard chapters to read. So a lot of times, it's easy to take this and go, I'm going to shoot over this, and I'm not going to really think about it. I know they had a function, especially to the returning captives. There was lineages that had to be preserved, and so they had a function to them. And we look at that and say, okay, I get that, right, but what about me? What about us? What does it have as a purpose for us? What's the point of these chapters? And I can tell you honestly, in my studies, I have not dug into 1 Chronicles chapters 1 through 9 a lot. Just be honest with you, I haven't. And because of that, over time and through my life of Bible study, I have missed out on a couple of different lessons that are found in chapters 1 through 9. Well, probably more than a couple, but at least one of those I'm going to try to present to you today that I want to show you that I missed in previous times. Turn to chapter 4 of 1 Chronicles. Chapter 4 in 1 Chronicles. I like chapter 4 because it has some really cool names in it. If you want to use one of these names as a future child name, you can give me credit for that. I'll be okay with that. Or if you want to leave me out of it, it's probably better. But these names are, there's a lot of really interesting names in chapter 4. And I'm going to challenge you now and look at verse 3. At the end of verse 3, I was joking with Jen about this. I had her read it. At the end of verse 3, there's a sister. And Jordan is our deacon of reading in our congregation, so he's the one who reads. Jordan, do you have chapter 4, verse 3 there? Read the last name of the sister out loud. Did you hear it? Her name is Has a Little Pony. You can find some gems in 1 Chronicles if you'll just read it out loud that are different if you're silent. And you know, I was telling Jen, I said, I hope she did. I hope she did have a little pony. You know, it's kind of an encouraging thing, right? So Has a Little Pony. It's not an everyday name. I know that. But, and that's not why we're here, obviously. But I just wanted to share that with you. and doing that. So what I want to do is I want to go down a little bit in chapter 4 to verse 9. And this is a character that you probably have heard of. There was a lot of hubbub about Jabez for a while, many years back. There were books written about him and such like that. Not a new topic in that. But I want to read in these two verses, verses 9 and 10, about Jabez. So let's read together. Jabez was more honorable than his brothers, and his mother named him Jabez, saying, "Because I bore him with pain." Now Jabez called on the God of Israel, saying, "Oh, that you would bless me indeed and enlarge my border, and that your hand might be with me, and that you would keep me from harm, that it may not pain me." And God granted him what he requested. Now, we don't know anything more about Jabez. Jabez starts here in verse 9 and he ends in verse 10 as far as our knowledge of him goes. So there's nothing more written about him, nothing before this. But I want to look at a couple of observations. You might look at this and think, we don't know a whole lot about him, and this may seem really simple, but I'm going to propose to you that it's not as simple as it looks. That there's more to the story than this. So we have a man named Jabez, and it looks like his life started out not in the best way, right? His mother named him Jabez because the word Jabez is closely related to the Hebrew word for causes pain. Okay, so a really unique name for someone to go through life with. What's your name? Pain. And that's just in its purpose. That's actually the purpose of his name. And you think about that and think about what that would have had as an impact upon him. You know, did his mother almost maybe die in childbirth? Was her childbirth maybe complicated? We don't know. We don't know about that. I know that I've met parents that want to retroactively name their children things like this. Maybe look back and go, yeah, we missed an opportunity there. But, you know, the truth is he started out with complication. He started out with difficulty in his life. And what's interesting about that is he started out, and this man started in a difficult way, but he says this prayer. And it's a simple prayer. It's only two, well, it's actually only one verse long in the Bible, one verse. That's his prayer. He starts this prayer, and because of that prayer, God grants him what he asks for. And I think that's a really interesting thing that we should stand out to us, the purpose that God brought in this. So he started with pain or shame in a sense, and he ended with glory in his life. Remember that. So look in verse 9. It says there he was more honorable than his brothers. And we don't know why. We don't know how he was more honorable. We don't have that idea. And we know that God isn't like a respecter of persons, but we know there's a few times in scriptures where this type of phrase is said about someone that they were more honorable. And God will take and look at those people and he will note them. He will maybe sometimes give them good things and bless them or even glorify them above others. But he uses them as an example. And that's what he's doing with Jabez here. It's said about Jabez like this. And so it's something that we should take note of when we look at Jabez. We should say, why did God find him more honorable than his brothers? God took time to mention it and bring it to us for us to notice that. You know, this list includes a lot of notable names. You know what that name, that moniker, that more honorable moniker doesn't belong to? Abraham or Isaac or Jacob. Were they all honorable? They were all honorable. But Jabez stood out that God wanted to note he was more honorable than his brothers. Just Jabez. So let's take a moment. Let's look at the prayer itself and try to find out what was it that God wanted us to note about Jabez that was more honorable than his brothers. In verse 10, "Now Jabez called on the God of Israel, saying, 'Oh, that you would bless me indeed and enlarge my border, and that your hand might be with me, that you would keep me from harm, that it may not pain me.' And God granted him what he requested." So I want to ask you, give your assessment here. What are your initial thoughts of his prayer? When you first read this prayer, I can tell you what mine were, but I want to ask what yours were. It's not particularly profound or anything like that. It's pretty basic. It's not frilly or anything like that. Do you think that he sounds selfish in his prayer? It's all me, 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 right? It's all focused on him. And at first glance, I think that it's kind of, that's the intention or the idea that we get. It's even superficial, it feels, in that. But I'm going to propose to you that there's more going on with this prayer. And the evidence that I have is verse 9 and in the end of verse 10. And that is, if someone prays this prayer and God says he was more honorable than his brothers and God granted him his request, that what we see in that prayer maybe at the front is not what's actually going on. God doesn't honor selfish people. God doesn't honor self-seeking people. And he doesn't grant their requests. And we're going to read more about that as we go on. So there are four requests made by Jabez, and we're going to look through those. That'll make up our lesson this morning. We're going to look through each of those requests and try to see what we can learn from them. So the first request, and I'll just highlight them on the screen. We can keep track. He says, "Oh, that you would bless me indeed." So does that sound selfish to you? Oh, that you would bless me indeed. What if I got up this morning and I was tasked with leading a prayer and I got up here and I said, "Lord, bless me indeed." That concept of indeed means a lot, much. Lord, really bless me. And I started leading the prayer that way. What you think? You might think, "Wow, Art, what about us?" You know, and I might go, okay. "Lord, bless us all. A lot. Bless us all so much and give us blessings." Would you kind of think that might be a little bit odd? But remember this, God took pause in Jabez's prayer to stop and look at it and tell us he asked to be blessed a lot, to be blessed indeed, and he did those things. Maybe he was more honorable than his brothers. Maybe it was that Jabez knew, because this is not something that's assumed about people who know God. Maybe it's that Jabez knew to go to God for this blessing. Just that alone. The fact that he went to God and said, "Lord, bless me. Lord, you've got this. Lord, you know." You know, a lot of people turn to a lot of things in the world. You know, we look at the world and we see Christians doing this. Then they go, "Job, bless me indeed. Things that I can buy, bless me indeed. This person I really like, bless me indeed. This pursuit or hobby I have, bless me indeed." We look it all over for blessings. But Jabez looked to God. He said, "Lord, you bless me indeed. I know you can do this, Lord." He has confidence in doing that. But let's look at something else with this prayer. He's specific with the blessing, "Bless me." But he's not too specific. He doesn't go and list out X, Y, and Z. "Give me this, give me this, give me this." It's like he says to God, "You know best." Now, have you ever thought about, you know, sometimes the fact is that we might ask for the things we want in the moment, but we don't always do that. Sometimes we ask more generically, more specifically. But let me ask you this. What if God took the stance that I'm only going to bless the people who pray to me for blessings only when they pray? What would your life look like if you only got the blessings you asked for? Some of us might say our lives wouldn't be nearly as blessed as they are. You know, I pray when there's a public prayer, I pray before a meal, and I ask for things that are specific. But do you ever just have a prayer where you just look out and say, "God, bless me," and think, you know, I don't feel comfortable doing that? Jabez prayed that prayer, and he was more honorable than his brothers. And there's guidelines with asking for blessings, aren't there? We know that in the Bible. There's Matthew 7 through 11, James 1, 5 through 8, James 4, 1 through 3. In Matthew 7, it says that we are to ask, seek, and knock, and that we know that we have a good Father that wants to give us gifts. In James chapter 1, we are to ask for wisdom, but we're to ask without doubting. And he says, because you're going to be a two-faced or a two-sided man. You're not going to be granted what you want. James 4, he says, you don't have because you don't ask. And you don't ask because you ask amiss. You ask to spend it selfishly on your own things. I would propose to you that Jabez didn't fall in that category here. That he didn't ask and fall into the James 4 category. He wasn't being selfish in his request. Not in that sense that he wasn't being selfish or he wasn't thinking selfishly. Or else God wouldn't have called him honorable and he wouldn't have granted his request. So let's go back to the prayer. Let's learn some more. The second thing that Jabez asked for is he says, "Would you bless me indeed and Lord, enlarge my border." So what does that mean? Well, we can be literal about it. We can take this literally and say, let's apply this to kind of our day and age and say, "Okay, Lord, I have a quarter acre. I want an acre." Or, "Lord, I have 5 acres and I want 10 acres. Or, "Lord, I have 10 acres and I want 100 acres. Enlarge my border." make my property bigger. Give me more land. And I'm going to ask you again, does this feel wrong at first glance? It feels a little selfish, doesn't it? It feels a little bit odd to be asking about something like that. But let's not just think about real estate. Let's think about a spiritual application. Borders in the ancient world, we know they referred to land. We know that in a sense. But real estate, owning more land, didn't simply mean more blessing. In the Old Testament times, more borders, more land, it meant more responsibility. It meant more opportunity, and it meant greater influence. There was more to be done with greater land. You had more that you could do and do that. If you had greater borders, you had more responsibility. God had laws for people who owned great amounts of land that the people within their borders, what were they supposed to do? There were responsibilities to those people. They had to take care of those people. There were things that had to be done in being able to do that. And there are some who simply do not want to pray for more responsibility. But this is a man who was praying for more responsibility. More land means more responsibility, more power, more influence. But have we ever prayed that? Have we ever prayed something similar to the idea of, Lord, I want you to expand my responsibility. I want you to expand my influence. I want you to expand my opportunities to serve you. Give me more of what I need to do, more work for you. And apply that spiritually. I think some people are afraid to pray this. I can tell you honestly, I'll share with you, I've been afraid to pray this at times in my life. Because, and I know some people are afraid to pray this, I can give myself as an example. Because this is a responsibility. When you pray to God for more work in the kingdom, it's going to come your way. But I think that sometimes we have this feeling, this thought, Lord, I'd just like to come to church. I'd like to just be a Christian. I like what I get from church. But I really don't want to feel like when I'm out in the world or I'm in the church that there's more that I should be doing. Lord, just kind of keep me where I'm at. I don't want to pray to God and say, Lord, make me a Bible class teacher. Lord, make me an evangelist. Lord, make me a worker in the church. God, put more people into my life so I can teach them the gospel. Because you know what will happen if you pray that? Praying for greater responsibility is praying for work. And a lot of times in our lives, and I'm raising my hand, there's been times I don't want to pray for more work. I don't want the Lord to bless me with more territory, enlarging my borders in that thing. So what do you think about this prayer for this church, for this congregation specifically? What do you think about this prayer? Do you think that this congregation, as a congregation, that we're doing everything we can do? Are we sitting contently within our borders? Or are we praying for God to expand our borders as a congregation? God, expand our borders. Give us more to do. You know what comes, and this is, we were talking about Ken Leach the other night, is a very good man and had a lot of things he influenced me in the gospel. What he said a long time ago is he said, you know what comes with greater growth in the church? Mess, inconvenience, things that don't go the way you want them to go. And if you're not being inconvenienced, you're probably not doing it right. And that's what he used to say. If you're wanting to do good works, if you're just doing them within your convenience, you're probably not doing it right. The same with the work of the church. If we're going to pray for the borders of the church to be expanded, for us to have greater influence, folks, there's a couple hundred Christians in Cookeville, Tennessee. Do you think there's more work to do in this area? There is, of course there is. But the question for us is do we want to pray to have that work be part of our work? God, expand our borders. There's more to do here. We know it, Lord, but we're ready to expand our borders and move on. This is a wonderful congregation. Some of my favorite people are sitting in these pews right now on the whole earth. But do you think that we're doing all the work that we can do? Can we pray this as a church? Bless us indeed, expand our borders, expand our influences. Maybe we can pray that individually as well. Two different functions, two different parts of the prayer. All right, let's move on to the third request. He says, Lord, that you would bless me indeed, that you would enlarge my border, and that your hand might be with me. Isn't that kind of interesting that he puts this part here? I think if we examine our prayers, if we look at how we pray, a lot of us would find that we put this request at the front. That your hand might be with me. Protect me. Keep us safe. I usually pray that at the front, right? He didn't start the prayer that way. Hey, God, let your hand be with me. And in the Bible, we know biblically that asking for the hand of God to be with you is protection. It is power. It's assistance. Joshua 4, Acts 11, the hand of the Lord was with someone to be victorious. It was part of their work to be victorious. This is the type of prayer that someone prays when they know there's no other way to get this thing done. This is the type of hand that we are requesting. We're not asking for, God, make my job that I already can do on my own just a little bit easier so I can lay off. No, this is, Lord, I've got a job in front of me that I can't do any other way unless you help me. This is the type of prayer, the type of request that we're doing. So this is the type of prayer that follows for Jabez, of him saying, look, God, bless me indeed. Give me more territory. Give me more borders. And now, Lord, what do I need now that my territory, my borders have been increased? I need your help. And we're going to need God's help if we do that. If we don't pray for God's help when he expands our territory, we're going to be in a heap of trouble. Things aren't going to go well for us. Let your hand be with me. I want to point out, and this is kind of a neat parallel, that this pattern is actually the pattern biblically that you're going to find all over the place. Remember in the New Testament, how many Christians that started to pray like this when the kingdom started to grow? Remember in Acts chapter 2, there were 3,000 souls saved, right? So the church in Jerusalem just exploded from 0 to 3,000. And here you have this great work that starts. And by the time the Christians are gathering in chapter 4, what are they praying? God, give us boldness to keep doing what we're doing. Things are getting difficult, God. We need your help. We pray that the hand of the Lord would be upon us. You see, over and over and over again, it's going to get difficult. If you personally pray for the first two parts of this prayer, you better be prepared to pray for the third part of this prayer. Because things are going to get so difficult, they're going to get so hard. You're going to need this. You need to be prepared for doing this. If we pray as a church for this prayer to do this, it's going to get difficult. And that's what we're going to find is added to us in that. The fourth request. And that you would keep me from harm, and that it may not pain me. Now this is an interesting thing. Remember, for a guy named Pain to request, keep me from harm that it may not pain me. And some of your translations might say there that keep me from harm or evil so that I may not cause pain. There's a different thing. It's really hard in the Hebrew to translate, so either one would work. They both have basically the same idea. But the idea, what did Jabez hear from his mother basically his entire life? Every time it was time for dinner, what did he hear? Pain! Time for dinner. He heard it all his life. All his life he heard about his pain. He heard about the things that he had caused, I guess, in his creation, if you will, even in doing that. Lord, bless me indeed. Give me more territory and help me. Keep me from evil so I won't cause pain. Going back to the New Testament Christians again, every time we read in the New Testament about Christians doing work, usually this type of prayer is close behind. Sometimes it's a little bit harder to see, but I want to point out a couple times to you. In John chapter 17, we're going to read verses 13 through 15, just as they're on the screen. But when we get towards the end, I'm going to change the wording a bit, and then I'll read what it is here. I'm going to insert some of Jabez into the end of this so you can see the parallel in doing that. Let's read together. But now I come to you, and these things I speak in the world so that you may have my joy made full in themselves. I have given them your word, and the world has hated them because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. I do not ask you to take them out of the world, but, changing the wording here, that your hand would be with them and that you would keep them from evil. Okay, now let's go back to what it says. It doesn't say that. It says, but to keep them from the evil one. Lord, you've given me these people. This is Jesus speaking. He's praying. Lord, you've given me these people, and I've given them this responsibility. And I'm praying that as they go out and take this responsibility, that you protect them, give them your hand, and keep them from the evil one. Keep them from pain or causing pain in doing that. Look at 2 Thessalonians in chapter 3. We're going to read there together in verses 1 through 5. And I want you to read this prayer of Paul and think of Jabez. Think of that pattern of Jabez. There's more to be given. Help is going to be needed, and keep us from evil. That pattern right there. So we're going to read together verse 1, 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. Finally, brethren, pray for us that the word of the Lord will spread rapidly and be glorified, just as it did also with you, and that you will be rescued from this perverse and evil men, for not all have faith. But the Lord is faithful, and he will strengthen and protect you from the evil one. We have confidence in the Lord concerning you, that you are doing and will continue to do what we command. May the Lord direct your hearts into the love of God and the steadfastness of Christ. So Paul is praying. He says, I'm praying that we will continue to grow, we'll continue to work, we'll continue to expand. We're praying for those blessings. But does it sound like more territory to you? It does. It sounds like more territory. When we talk about territory and you talk about that expansion, it's all about the work that's going to be done. And then he prays that God will keep you from evil, from the evil one. Again, from that pain that can be caused or you can cause through this work that could be done. Everyone that God has ever called that we have recorded in the Bible has prayed something like this at some point. I challenge you to find one that hasn't. That said, Lord, you have come to me and you have given me territory. You have given me responsibility. You've given me growth in your kingdom or in your nation or whatever it is. And everything is fine, Lord. I don't need your help. Find me that person. There is no such person. Every single time you're going to need that help. And it's a prayer that we need to understand. Everyone can be that way, but we have to consider whether we want to. And finally, in Jabez's prayer, it tells us God granted him what he requested. Isn't that a beautiful account of a servant of God? Someone that God stopped. You know, we're going through this list of names, just name after name and after name, and God said, wait, let me tell you about Jabez. This man was more honorable than his brothers. He prayed this prayer, and God granted it. How do we apply this to our life? What do you think this did? Well, before I ask you that, what do you think this did to Jabez's life? God granted his request. God gave him blessings indeed, territory expansion, more responsibility, more work to do, and the help to do it. Do you think that it turned Jabez's life from that point to something different than what he was experiencing before? I think the evidence is there. That's exactly what it did. I think that Jabez was more honorable because of that specifically. In Roman history, there was recorded that there was a, this is recorded in the arts and stuff like that, but in Roman history it was recorded that there was a poster that was put up around Rome. And I don't know what the purpose of the poster, maybe it was to advertise or something like that, but it had a picture of a lion or something like that on it from the description. It was a fierce lion on it. And there was a quote on the poster, and it said, "The best way to stay safe is to stay out of the arena." The best way to stay safe is to stay out of the arena. That makes sense, right? Who here would want to go into the arena in Rome? None of us, right, in doing that. But we just read about somebody who was praying, basically, to invade the arena. Who's saying, Lord, put me there. Lord, take me there. Let me do this. Let me do this work. And he says, God, give me more territory. Whose territory was that? When you ask for more responsibility in the work and God, and we pray as a church, let's say, to expand our influence, where are we thinking we're going to expand our influence? To other faithful groups of Christ? No. It's Satan's territory that you're invading. That's where you're going. That's what you're going to be praying for. You're praying for territory that is owned by him, that is owned by Satan. And if you pray that prayer, you're going to go into Satan's territory with that. You're going to look to conquer it. It's Satan's. He owns the arena. But the best way to stay safe is to stay out of the arena. Are we living our Christian lives invading arenas that belong to Satan? Or are we living our Christian life staying safe out of the arena? It's for you to measure. It's for us all, each individually, to measure. Where are we sitting at when we do that? When you pray this, you're going to be noticed by the spiritual forces of wickedness that dwell in the heavenly places. That's what Ephesians 6 says to us. You're going to be noticed by them. You're going to do battle with them. But God's already given you victory. Jesus promised the gates of hell will not prevail against this kingdom. He won't prevail against you. You will win. But does that mean there won't be any cost? Because the truth still lies in the poster. The safety lies outside the arena. It won't be safe in there. That won't necessarily be the case in doing that. So let's finish this up. Remember when I talked to you about being honorable, kind of like Jabez has mentioned at the beginning of the scripture? If God someday writes the history of this congregation, we don't know that he won't, we don't know that he will, but what if God were to one day write the history of this congregation? At the start, what he lists is a bunch of names. And as he's going through the names, and he writes, and he says, and the members of Colonial Heights were Jordan, Janet, Daniel, John, and Macy, and Owen, and Daniel, Jennifer, Phyllis, Jeff, and the names kept going, and Tom, and Chrissy. Would he stop at one of the names, and would he say, wait a minute, let me tell you about this one. They were more honorable. Would there be a name? Because they prayed this prayer and they asked for more work and I gave it to them. And they thrived and they grew and they became more than what they were. And then they'll go back to the list of names and he'll keep listing the other names. Are all the other names necessarily dishonorable? No. But there was one that he found more honorable. Do we want to be part of that? And God granted the request of... As we conclude, I want to think inwardly for just a second. Kind of do an assessment as we do an invitation, as we always do at the end of our services. Maybe you're living in Satan's territory right now. Maybe you're not a Christian. You haven't made the decision to become a Christian. Maybe you're living in that territory. And you know, maybe the reason you're here today is because someone prayed for more territory. They said, I need to do more work in those areas where people are lost and they're outside my borders. Please increase my borders, Lord, that I have influence with them. And maybe that's why you're here today. To hear this word, to hear a gospel, to hear good news, and to have someone have that work in your life. That's powerful. It's important. Maybe your expanded borders are getting a little overwhelming to you. Maybe you've prayed this prayer, and maybe things are a little bit hard right now, and you haven't figured out how to ask God for that help. Maybe that's something that we can do. Maybe you're scared to ask for expanded borders. Contentment set in. Lord, I'm pretty happy with where I am as a Christian and in this congregation. I don't need any more. I'm not interested in that. I'm all the Christian that God needs me to be. Is that more akin to our prayer? Perhaps you've caused pain in your life, like Jabez. But remember what Jabez did? Jabez started in pain and ended in, I told you, remember it, glory. God can fix that. That's what God does. God takes pain and he ends it in glory. Just like Jabez. Just like we learned there. We all stand ready. We're about to sing a song. And we all stand ready in order to help you. If you have any of these needs, if there's anything that we can talk to you about regarding the gospel, please come forward while together we stand and while we sing.